is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint, the Midweek Report.
Welcome to the inaugural edition of Viewpoint, the Midweek Report. This is Malcolm Outland. Well, friends, if you've been listening to Viewpoint this Sunday for the last year, as we now just really come upon our one-year anniversary, it was clear to us that with this news cycle, we needed to create a report that came to you during the middle of the week, and this is that show right now. This will air every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can catch it right there, right on America Out Loud Talk Radio, and you'll get all the news that we typically bring to you on Viewpoint this Sunday, except it will be here on Wednesday for you every week. What's interesting about this particular show, not only will we cover the top stories of the week with experts and people and their opinions and thoughts, but we will have a power panel where we will dive into some heavier topic of the moment, and you can just about guess what that one is today. Well, let me tell you about the top stories here that we are following at this very moment. Of course, Judge Kavanaugh vote is delayed. The public hearing was set for Monday with the accuser. We'll take that on. Trump orders the FBI documents and texts from Russia probe to be declassified. That has rocked a few people in Washington. Russia and Turkey announce a deal on the demilitarized zone around Idlib, Syria. And then some new developments overnight. North and South Korea, they had a meet, and breaking news overnight we'll share with you as well. Poland offers the United States to establish a military base. And guess what they want to call it? What do you think of Fort Trump? Well, that'll drive the other side crazy, won't it now, huh? And then President Trump announces $200 billion in tariffs on Chinese goods. The Chinese retaliate. That is going somewhere fast, I think, huh? Mueller tells the court he's ready to sentence Flynn, General Flynn, in late November. And, of course, the politician you just love, Maxine Waters, encourages the resistance to knock off Trump. Cannot make that stuff up, friends. Our power panel on today's show will be on Judge Kavanaugh. Accusations and the law. Has the pendulum swung too far? And a quest for justice or political personal vendetta. We'll take that on. Well, let's get started at the top of the show here, please, and welcome on Colonel Jim Warshuk is here. He's retired from United States Air Force. He is a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. He served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command and has worked on the White House National Security Council. Also joining us, Del Wilbur is a former CIA and Department of Defense intelligence and counterterrorism officer with a focus on technical and human intelligence collection activities. Okay, gentlemen, Judge Kavanaugh, the vote delayed. The public hearing was set for Monday. Now, this was kind of the answer back that Chuck Grassley, the chairman, had immediately responded to when Dianne Feinstein had came out with this this particular claim that the professor, Christine Blasey Ford, that there was a sexual incident, I guess, from 36 years back that had taken place. I guess you got to begin to, there's a lot of questions here. We're going to dive deeper into this later in the show. But, you know, is it unprecedented or have we seen this before, actually? We might have seen this act before. I don't know. But Colonel Warshuk, let's start with you here. Many people are saying this is a political delay. Could these accusations be legitimate? Is there a chance of that? I mean, and how would we know from 36 years ago, I guess, huh?
Well, I think more and more as we've delved into this with so much coverage, we're realizing that it's probably more a political stunt. The offended has no recollection of time, place, or whereabouts, everything on it. And now there's some pushback of whether she's going to make her case before the committee. And now the latest is that they're calling in the FBI to investigate, which, you know, it's not their role or responsibility to do that, let alone 36 years later, where it's merely an accusation with little details.
Right. So, all right. So at first, her attorney came out and said, okay, she's going to be there. Just let us know. Judge Kavanaugh said, absolutely. He'll be there whenever you want him there. He's been back and forth from the White House. As you just said, Colonel, the latest is that she is not going to appear. A letter has been sent to Congress, to the committee, that she will not appear on Monday, that she and they require a full investigation from the FBI, which is really like not even their jurisdiction here. I mean, this is possibly a local crime if it ever happened. The FBI doesn't. Can you imagine, Dell, if we had, if the FBI was involved in all these kinds of accusations and cases and claims and things like this that happened at a local or state level, by golly, they'd get nothing done. I mean, that's not their role, is it? So why are they calling for that? I mean, what's the purpose?
Well, it's just a tactic is all. I mean, it's not within the jurisdiction of the Federal Bureau of Investigation to conduct investigations into what described is a local or a state statute crime, from 35 years ago. And I have to tell you, in the spirit of transparency, you know, 40 years ago, I was collecting for a charity for the Madame Sophie's Home for Wayward Girls, and I knocked on Elizabeth Warren's door, and she answered wearing an Indian headdress, carrying a tomahawk, and nothing else.
Oh, dear.
I think she should be expelled from the Senate, I mean, that's how ridiculous these charges are becoming. It's amazing that we have good people willing to serve this country anymore because they have to go through this kind of a meat grinder. And it's not just them, it's their families as well. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. It's got to come to an end.
Right. You know, Dale, where you went with that story, I was afraid of what you were going to say when you opened the door when you were in high school. So I'm glad you kind of went that way, actually, bro. But anyways, that story could go a lot of different ways, man. So, all right, Colonel Warshak, what do you think happens here? So let's say she doesn't appear on Monday. So there's no hearing. It doesn't happen. I don't know if they cancel it or do they probably, maybe they will still have Judge Kavanaugh there. They probably will, I guess. They're talking about doing a vote on Wednesday. What's your prediction at this point? Does Judge Kavanaugh get approved for the Supreme Court, or are they successful in derailing this nomination?
What is that play here? This is a stall tactic. The last thing the Democrats want is for Judge Kavanaugh to be confirmed prior to the midterm elections. They are trying to get this push past the midterm elections and hope that they may have a change in the makeup of the Senate where he would not be confirmed. They're grasping for straws here. And this is, the 11th hour tactic, that they're trying, that it's going to fail. And I believe wholeheartedly that the votes are there and Kavanaugh will.
You think he'll skate in then? Okay.
Will be confirmed. Right. It's really mocking their own Me Too movement, making it look so foolish by these kind of things that they're doing.
Right, exactly. And, they may have to use the vice president's vote if it's that close, if some of those Democrats that would have voted for him otherwise, if they think there's a chance to upset this, they're going to go the other way. Dell, does he get in? Last word. Does he get in on this, or do you think they derail this?
No, I think he's going to get in, and I think that it'll be obvious. This was partly also the Democrats playing to their base so they can at least go back to their hardcore constituents, and they can say, hey, we fought the good fight.
Tried.
We tried everything. We did everything we could to prevent this.
Well, that's a fair assessment. No, that's a fair assessment, Dale. We call that politics, right, in America. So that's kind of fair that, they have to say they at least
dirty
tried.
Dirty politics.
Right, but politics
it's
does the
dirty
same.
Politics.
Yeah. I don't know politics any way different, Dale. They all seem to be dirty these days. But listen, let's talk about this big deal here that Trump ordered the FBI documents and texts from the Russia probe declassified. Now, this was amazing. Typically, we talk about transparency being a good thing. I mean, that's been the goal. We've talked about it for a long time. Wouldn't it be really nice if there was some transparency coming from Washington? So here's a president who says, okay, let's just open it all up and throw it all out there. Knowing that, which really kind of plays against the rules here a little bit, because not only is he doing that, Colonel Warshak, but I got to tell you this, it's upsetting a lot of people who might be incriminated for one reason or another, but it also kind of goes into the face of
what is Trump hiding? You kind of can't say that anymore. When the president has thrown open the doors and said, okay, come get it here. Look at the text, look at everything. I mean, that kind of defeats their argument, does it not?
Well, certainly, and that's been the, I think, the number one concern at play for the opposition there and those who were supporting the phony effort on the part of the Democrats with the Russia collusion tactic. This now will reveal, and it'll shed light on what really went on. And this was, you know, I've written about this a number of times, and in fact have an article on it earlier this week in America Out Loud, and it addresses just that. What is at play here? And I think this will be the lead into a number of criminal indictments by certain people who were involved.
Yeah, this is going to be really, really interesting, I have to tell you people here. Dell, this was a surprise to a lot of folks, but as Colonel just said, there are some people who are sweating today probably because of what the president's going to do here. But actually, this kind of, you know, I mean, you kind of can't debate the fact if you want transparency. I mean, how do you argue this, even if you're on the other side, when the president is offering truth? Well, I've watched some of the people like Adam Schiff, and they're coming out, and they're really swarming over this thing, Dell. What do you think becomes of it?
Well, I think it's rather curious that, you know, when they talk about wanting transparency, I mean, Hillary Clinton was very transparent, sending classified information across her, her email server. And the Democrats didn't seem to have too much of a problem with that. But now they've got a problem with President Trump, declassifying this information. I mean, it's just ridiculous politics. It is the Democrat Party is absolutely devoid of any decency and or any common sense anymore. They're all about partisanship.
I'm curious to see what happens here, what the fallout is from these declassified documents. Now, keep in mind, we won't get these for a while, and they still have to go through multiple processes, but at least it begins the process where we will eventually see and been able to read some of this information. And as you say, we'll find out who it incriminates or not. But listen, friends, there's nothing like the out loud truth, as we call it, right? Other events overseas here, guys. Russia and Turkey announced a deal on the demilitarized zone around Idlib, Syria, which we've been talking about this on our Viewpoint this Sunday show. And this is the last stronghold in that area where the rebels are there. And of course, a lot of Syrian people are there, you know, regular people with their kids and families and lives. And there were concerns with chemical weapons being used and other, or even barrel bombs or other sorts of equipment to these folks. Well, Russia and Turkey now have created this this zone around there. What do you think? Does this help at all? Or, you know, is this just another game in the whole program of this, Colonel Warshak? Will this help the Syrian people, or is it just temporary, you think?
Well, in any effort to do, you know, either a ceasefire or create a military zone or no-fly zones, whatever it may be, there's always good in it, but certainly I see this more as a geopolitical tactic on the part of Russia, and of course Turkey will jump in on it because they have some interest in it. And I think what we're going to see is this will play out for some time until either the government of Syria decides that they need to step in and do something else, and then we'll have a violation of a demilitarized zone, and things will go back to the way they were. Russia right now has to try to justify its participation in this, coming into the effort late in the war. And of course, Russia has key geopolitical interest in the region to have a foothold in the Middle East. So, you know, this I see as an effort on their part to say, look what we're doing. We're helping end the civil war that's been going on since 2011. And it's a political tactic. Well, will it last? That time will say on that. Yeah.
Now, Dell, you just got back from the Middle East, in fact, just last few days here, and I'm sure you've certainly been talking about this and following this, but Turkey has become an interesting player out there, and it's, you know, obviously Something's going to have to change here because Turkey is, you know, part of NATO, to remind everybody. I mean, they're part of the NATO alliance. And then you see all these meetings with Russia and Iran. In fact, they just had that summit with them out there. Russia is obviously very smart to be able to pull Turkey into the deal. It sort of, in their mind, at least, legitimizes what they're doing here. But again, a lot of this is the fact, you got to remember, people, they kind of took control of that area, Russia did, when President Obama played into the back seat. And they kind of gave Syria to the Russians to sort of maneuver and manipulate. And that's kind of what they're doing, Del Wilber, you think?
Well, absolutely. And I can tell you, I just got back the day before yesterday from over there. And I can tell you, it's a major concern what Turkey is doing. They have recently opened a military base in Qatar. They are starting to expand their reach across other parts of the Middle East. You know, they're strong supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. So they are a very big concern to the other Gulf countries, what they're up to. And I can, you know, basically say that, you know, from my perspective, anyway, they're up to no good. So, you know, we need to very carefully monitor what's going on. But I think the end result ultimately is that there's probably going to be a lot of casualties that occur in that area because they simply are not going to, the Assad regime is simply not going to allow them to continue to exist, and Turkey and Russia is not going to stop it.
Yeah, I'm afraid that, again, you have a valid point that worries me, actually. And again, people, you watch some of the videos out there, some of the real people in Syria. These are just families and moms and dads and kids trying to live their life. And, I mean, the parents are putting bags over the kids' heads in case the chemical weapons come. I mean, I kid you not. Trying to do everything they can to save their families, creating underground bunkers, doing, everything, because they know this madman, again, up the road there, Bashar al-Assad, what he's very capable of. So Dell's point that, there's no really peace and sanctity of life there. Those citizens are in great trouble is definitely an understatement. And I have to tell you, keep your eye on Turkey as well. Just keep your eye on Turkey, people, because things are changing there quickly. And I guess...
Let me add something, Malcolm, on that. That's real critical. I'll be real quick. Turkey is having some problems mm-hmm. with its agreements within NATO and its participation in NATO. What I see Russia doing here and Iran is offering Turkey an option, and as Del said and you said, they support Muslim Brotherhood and what have you. Mm-hmm. They're looking for possibly an out of NATO and into the hands of Russia and Iran in the Middle East. That would be a great opportunity for Turkey, I think. So something to keep an eye on.
That's interesting, Jim. I haven't heard that put there, but I don't doubt at all what you say, that they've definitely changed their approach to things.
Yeah, you could be seeing the creation of a new alliance.
Exactly. No, I think we are. I think we are. And that's been worrying me for some time now, because the writing's been on the wall for quite some time now, if you've been following this thing. Listen, big news overnight, breaking news with North and South Korea. Very, very interesting. This, again, was really, to me, an amazing development. Let me read you this here that was said, a statement that came from the meeting here. We have agreed to make the Korean Peninsula a land of peace that is free from nuclear weapons and nuclear threat. Now, this is Kim Jong-un, as he stood by Moon in South Korea, and he was staying in the guest house. Moon went to see Kim in North Korea. And they went on to say, the road to our future will not always be smooth, and we may face challenges and trials. We can't anticipate, but we aren't afraid of headwinds because our strength will grow as we overcome each trial based on the strength of our nations. Wow. I mean, that's like the most profound thing I've heard coming out of there as far as, some real talk here. So there are three quick things I want to touch on with here. So the promise by Kim Jong-un to permanently dismantle the North's main nuclear complex if the United States takes corresponding measures, what would those measures be that they would want us to take, Colonel? What would they want us to do? Any idea?
Well, that's a good question. and that's been discussed in the last 24 hours what those measures are. You know, they are certainly going to ask for the U.S. to remove a predominant amount of forces from South Korea. That's right. That's already been discussed, and I'm sure that's their main thing. Anything else, you know, they'll look at, you know, less exercises. They'll look for, you know, the stretch will be for the U.S. to remove a number of its nuclear weapons capabilities, which that's not going to happen because those are all targeted at strategic targets around the world, Russia, China, what have you. But they're going to primarily ask for the removal of U.S. forces from South Korea. I think that's the number one sticking point.
That's probably the measure that's about the only thing they can ask for. I mean, there's nothing more we can really offer them, and that's probably it. Now, let me go on to a couple of fast things, Dell, and say, so the other thing is the acceptance of international inspectors to monitor the closing of the key missile test site and launch pad. But here's the thing. How much of this is for the camera, Dell, versus, in other words, what is happening underground somewhere else, which the North Koreans are noted for? I mean, they show you something here, but then they're doing something over there. Is that another one of these things, you know, clearly, or is there, or do you think there's some truth to this?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, using the analogy of, you know, the old shell game, and
exactly.
Certainly back during the strategic arms reduction or limitation talks under Carter and Reagan, I believe it was. I mean, Reagan was famous for saying trust but verify. Well,
right.
We're certainly going to have to verify very closely and carefully that their technology and their facilities have not been relocated to mm-hmm. some other hidden location and that. So, yeah, it's going to be a difficult nut to crack, but I think we certainly can do it. So.
All right. Well, listen, I want to talk to you about Poland, a very interesting story that another one that they are really putting out there. They want they've been asking for this for some time, actually, but they want the United States to establish a permanent military base there in Warsaw, in Poland. Very fascinating. And get a load of this, people. They suggested we could call it Fort Trump. So this was interesting. The Polish president and Trump met at the White House when all this was discussed. They even offered to put $2 billion into the project. That's kind of unusual as well, I think. So they seem to be pretty serious about it.
The United States has been involved in Poland for many years since they became a member of NATO. In fact, I was part of the effort to open one of the first bases in Poland. There is a military U.S. Air Force, or a Polish Air Force base, but the U.S. pretty much rebuilt it, provided all the logistics and brought everything in, and they were extremely grateful, and it was all part of transitioning them to NATO. They've been our probably one of our best allies for many years since they joined NATO. I've served with the Poles in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they're hardworking. They love America. They love Trump.
So, do you approve of a permanent base? Do you think this is good?
Well, that's all been coming anyway, because we're looking at moving out of Germany. They put so many restrictions on us on how we can do our maneuver training and exercises and our overflights and everything because of global warming and environment and everything. So, but the Poles have offered, this going back 10 years, bring it. Bring everything you have in Germany if you want to bring it to Poland, do it.
But this ain't going to help the relationship out with Russia. Russia's not going to like this at all. I mean, they've already come out and said no way.
Well, that's part of the strategic effort is to move U.S. forces closer mm-hmm. to Russia mm-hmm. in what was the old Warsaw Pact. I mean, it mm-hmm. just intimidates the heck out of the Russians. Putin doesn't like it, but you know, his actions and what he's done in the Ukraine are driving that, and I see this happening. This is going to occur.
Interestingly enough, so you think it will occur. Okay, cool. Well, interestingly enough, that a lot of these strategic moves that we're talking about right now, friends, I mean, this is really, in many ways, this prevents a future Soviet Union, if you will. You know, we're always talking about Russia aggression around the world and what is he really up to, and Putin's trying to bring that back. Well, remember, it's moves like this that will prevent them from moving into these countries, which, you know, the Soviet Union did before. And that's, you know, this would be a revisit of those times, which we certainly are not looking forward as well. I want to turn real quickly to the tariffs there. Trump announced $200 billion in tariffs on Chinese goods. The Chinese have retaliated. Dell Wilbur, what do you think about this? I mean, The one thing about this president is he just keeps throwing it out there. I mean, like, you talk about multitasking. I mean, his hands are full in all these areas and all these news. In fact, the media, they can't keep up with him at all, which is why they stay on one story, like right now, and they beat it to death. But in the meantime, this thing with China and the tariffs back and forth is getting very interesting, and China's not buckling yet. What do you think happens here?
Yeah, I think it's part of Trump's negotiating strategy. I mean, he does one thing to see what their response is going to be, and then he's not a everything that Trump does is not written in stone. It's puts him in a position so that he can go back to the table and negotiate. And that, so I think this tension right now is just a little bit of a strategy on both sides.
Yeah, yeah. Also, I want to, before we're out of time here, two other things I want to touch on with you. And Colonel, I got to get your opinion on this, because you and I have talked very passionately about General Flynn and what has happened there. We all know what's happened with Mueller, the case there. Mueller came out and told the court just this week here that he's ready to sentence Flynn in late November. What do you think of this development? And the other thing is this sort of going to be one of these slap on the hands like they gave to George Papadopoulos for about the same crime, I guess? What do you get, like a couple of weeks and a gift certificate to the Olive Garden or something? So is that what they're going to do here to Flynn?
Well, Flynn's been asking for and calling for his sentence since probably last June, and it's finally, there has been a couple of delays, and now it looks like it's going to happen sometime around the end of November, sometime between the 28th and the 5th of December. They've dragged this out because they don't want it in the forefront for the midterm. Again, one of those things, you have to look at who the judge is in this. Emmett Sullivan, he's a Bill Clinton appointee back in 1994. So he's part of Mueller's group. I'm sure they strategized to ensure he was the judge who would make this pronouncement. Trump is going to pardon him and everything's going to be fine. And everything we've heard will turn out. I think Flynn is playing the game. He's going along with it, and it's part of the effort to show that how foolish they all are. He was doing his job as the incumbent national security advisor, and this was all part of the trumped-up Russia collusion game that the Democrats were playing, and in the end, they're going to look foolish.
Right, absolutely, yeah. Well, listen, we are out of time here on the top stories here, but tremendous thank you to Colonel Jim Warshuk and Del Wilbur. And friends, let me tell you here what we're doing with Viewpoint, the Midweek Report. Quest for Justice or Political Personal Vendetta, what happens with this? So as our power panel comes up, I want to also remind you, you can email us at talk@AmericaOutloud.com. talk@AmericaOutloud.com. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know what you think of the new format and what we're doing here. And stay right there as Viewpoint continues.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends, with 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Viewpoint, the Midweek Report. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, and listen, our power panel, we're going to take a deep dive here and talk about Judge Kavanaugh and the accuser as well, Professor Ford. What are the accusations and where does the law stand on this? Has the pendulum swung too far? I mean, these are the kinds of things you have to ask yourself here. In the past year, friends, we have seen political and media giants fall from their high thrones. I mean, we're talking like the Weinstein of the film industry, Franken of the Senate, or Tom Brokaw of news media, right? And many other famous and unknown personalities, some people we don't even know. This week, we have the ultimate case, Judge Brett Kavanaugh versus Miss Christine Blasey Ford, who has accused the judge of an attempted rape approximately 36 years ago while they were both teenagers in high school, evidently. Wow. I mean, who could see this coming, right? Let me introduce you now to our power panel, please. Ava Armstrong is here. She's a political commentator, radio personality, and producer here at America Out Loud. Ava is an author who writes about our military, our law enforcement, everyday men and women, with a focus on patriotism. Dr. Beverly Jackson is here. She's a psychotherapist, 20 plus years counseling experience, and has a show, Emotions Are Us, here on America Out Loud. Barbara McGee is here. She's a celebrity personal attaché and a life coach counseling in addiction breakthroughs. She's the host of LA Miracle Cure on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Okay, so let's talk about these accusations here. Ford says she does not recall the date or the exact location or who owned the house or how she got there. Wow. So how do we believe her recollection of events and discount the denials of the accused who say the event never happened? So in other words, all these things she doesn't remember, but she remembers she was potentially attacked 36 years ago. Barbara McGee, I'm going to put you right on the spot, love. And so how do we believe these accusations?
Well, you know, I think it's really interesting that even when we have real evidence, such as the case of Brock Turner, who was the Stanford graduate, who was laying on top of his victim in the morning in the act of sex and was pulled off of her. He received 3 months and the judge was dethroned right in Palo Alto. So, you know, we're really having to examine ourselves as how we see sexual assault and how the courts see it. Women are the majority in this country, but we are definitely not respected in the sense of our personal ability to say yes or to say no. And we are then put on trial because we bring it up. And let me tell you something, if you're sexually assaulted, that's not something you want to talk about at dinner. Definitely not on television.
I guess it depends how you, what you call a sex crime specifically. I mean, let me just say this. I mean, I don't know if this is proper or not, but there was no penetration here, Dr. Bev. I don't know if that's, I mean, that's what I said. There was no actual sex that happened. I mean, that seems to be clear. No one has said that anything really happened. There was what they call groping, I guess. I rubbed my pants on your pants or something. By golly, I mean, that seems to be pretty far out there for 36 years ago, but tell me.
Well, I have two things to say on that. Number one, in my practice, one of the things that I teach little children is that there is no such thing as molestation. It is rape. Someone has inhibited your body in a way that was not conscious for you. It's rape of your mind, emotionally. So we're going to leave that one there.
Interesting.
Number two, fake media. I can't believe all the things I read in here. And that's why I have America Out Loud. Okay. I don't know if the stories that are permeating in the ethers, she said this, he said that, she said, well, I don't know. What I do know and what I do believe in is our judicial system. And we have the FBI. This woman has asked for an investigation. She doesn't know where it can land. It could land on the side where, hey, she's totally made this up, fabricated. It's, something from her unconsciousness, subconscious that she brought up. Could be. But on the flip side, for Kavanaugh, it could also be his liberation, his speaking his truth, and let the facts fall where they may. And instead of what we did to Anita Hill, bring the facts into the hearing.
Interesting. Okay, Ava Armstrong, I know everybody can just imagine what you'll say next, but let me say this first. You kind of have to ask yourself, Is this really about a high school party that sounds to me like an episode of Beverly Hills 90210, or might it be that it poses a threat to legalized abortion in Roe versus Wade? What's it about?
Well, we all know that's what it's really about. It's really about this resist movement, which is very sad that they're using sexual assault as a weapon against Brett Kavanaugh. And I'm saying they're using it as a weapon because there really is no proof of this at all. In other words, they're trying to convict him without him being able to defend himself. They're persecuting him in the court of public opinion. And this is exactly what Deborah Katz, the attorney who's representing Kavanaugh's accuser, this Christine Blasey Ford, she is a vice chair of the Project on Government Oversight, which is an organization that's directly funded by George Soros' Open Society Foundation. There's a very interesting article in the Washington Times by a woman by the name of, her last name is Chumley, Cheryl Chumley, and I would recommend that everybody take a gander at that because the roots of this attorney and how they've scrubbed this so-called victim's social media, and there's been a lot of preparation for this. A lot of people have asked why Dianne Feinstein has waited so long. Well, it's so that they can get all their ducks in order to assassinate the character of Brett Kavanaugh. And the thing that I also find very, very interesting are the people that this lady has named as other people that were present. They've come out and made statements that none of this happened.
Right.
So there you go.
Ava, that article you mentioned, let me send the link to me so we can put that in the show post, please. And folks,
I will.
So after you hear this live on talk radio, it will be on the front page of America Out Loud and will be on podcast networks worldwide today. You can read the links and stuff right on the piece there. Barbara, in picking up where Ava is, let me say this. We talk about statute of limitations. The statute of limitations for this, civilly, criminally, I mean, have long run out. But Barbara, if something happened to anybody and you haven't moved on it for 36 years, Barbara, that's a lifetime. That's a long time. That's almost, you know, just approaching four decades. I mean, what right should you have at that point? I think people are asking to destroy another life. I mean, shouldn't you have brought it up at some point prior?
All right. Well, it's very interesting because a lot of times when people wait, when accusers or women who have been victimized wait, there are others. And Mr. Kavanaugh, perhaps in the good old boys club, we find that there are other accusers that haven't come out. When you come out, you risk your life, you risk your limb. I mean, I understand that Dr. Ford right now has relocated her family and had death threats and is on the run.
Well, Barbara, let me pick up on that point and say this. We've all been waiting for the other shoe to drop with what you just say in regards to Judge Kavanaugh, because you're right with what you say. And I think Dr. Bev would be a good one to opine on this point, being a professional psychotherapist and all. But typically, these things don't come out of nowhere, no man's land. All of a sudden, you know, so it really comes back to, is this an assassination of character, or does this man have a record somewhere that has been so hidden? Here's the thing about this that you have to remember. The FBI has done a scrub on this man six times. Now, these scrubs that they do on a person are about as thorough as that you can possibly do. I mean, they check out everything, Barbara. They check out what laundry detergent you use and how often you use it. I mean, they go pretty deep, and they check out your entire character and your entire footprint and what you've done and what you said and all the way back to school. And that's happened not once, not twice, not three times, Barbara, six times. So, in other words, before you put a name up for the Supreme Court, and let me say, the Supreme Court, it's a big deal, people. It's a big deal. You see, it's called the third branch of our government system. Yeah, right? It's a big deal.
Why did Dianne Feinstein hold on to this? Why?
Well, you know, it is a great question, and because she knew the information in July, but it didn't come forth until just, you know, which kind of is what happened with the Anita Hill hearings. It was at the very last minute with Clarence Thomas, who is now a Supreme Court justice. The same thing happened there. I don't want to lose track of where we were. I want to go to Dr. Bev here a moment. And Dr. Bev, I want to talk where Barbara was a moment ago, because I want to talk about the character of any individual. In this case, it's Judge Kavanaugh. The FBI has scrubbed this guy background six times. They've done a complete character, check on this man, and everything they check, and what you had for breakfast, how often you eat, what goes on. I mean, it's a very thorough, from everything I understand, Dr. Bev, it's about as thorough of an investigation as you could do. Nothing has ever come up. Now, back to Barbara's point. Many of us were waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like you say, Barbara, are the victims, are the problems, are the situations. Now, all these women, 60-some-odd women, have come out and have given a major endorsement of this woman, people all the way back to he dated in high school. Talk, Dr. Bev, on the specific point of a person and how unusual it is to have one claim and no others, and the accuracy of that, please.
I can't speak to having one claim and no other because, again, I don't have all the facts in this situation. What I can speak to is what we have in our community when it comes to women who have been victimized, men who have been victimized sexually at an early age. Oftentimes, it is such a traumatic event for them that it's hard for them to even wrap their brains around it. You have to remember, 14, 15, 16, even Kavanaugh, he was just a stupid teenager, okay? A teenager. We've all had one. I have one. Moreover, timing is everything. When I look at the Kavanaugh case and I look at the Anita Hill case, I think about Dr. Ford. Dr. Ford, timing is everything. She says that this happened to her in the 80s. Think about that, in the 80s. She got to witness in the 90s what happened to Anita Hill. Mm-hmm. If that wouldn't traumatize someone into silence, guilt, and shame, that would have.
All right, so you're saying, Dr. Bev, it's entirely possible then that this woman did have something happen to her and that Judge Kavanaugh, it's possible, you're saying?
It's entirely possible, and I hear the media, when it says mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. you know, his record has been scrubbed, he's mm-hmm. gone through well.
Right.
Apparently, it wasn't gone through well enough because this somehow slipped through the cracks.
Well, unless it wasn't there to begin with and it came in at a late date, Dr. Bev, and then it wouldn't have slipped.
And that is, and Malcolm, right. That is, I can't believe everything I read and see in the media or even hear.
Well, you can't believe any of it, really, but
right.
Okay, so.
Some facts.
Right. So, having said all of that, then, do you. Answer this before we pause here a moment here, Dr. Bev. Is it possible that an individual such as a Judge Kavanaugh or whoever that person is could have done such an event like this and attempted to rape this woman and put his hand over her mouth and then been like a perfect citizen afterward for the rest of his life, like nothing ever else happened? And like there was no other shoe to drop. Nobody else ever came out, like Barbara said, would be an anomaly just to have one incident and no more. So what are the possibilities of that?
It is quite possible. Perhaps something in his life may have shook him up to the point where
okay.
he got his character together and he straightened up and flew right.
All right.
Nonetheless, the allegation is out there.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, the next question we have to ask ourselves then, friends, I want you to all go back into your memory, if you can, depending on how old you are, from, 36 years ago, if you were born, and when you were a teenager, potentially, and think about some of the stupid things you did as a kid, and, I mean, really stupid things that you've done as a kid, as a young adult, teenager, young adolescent, whatever it might be, and think about those things and think about, wow, was that stupid? And how much of that, so I guess what I ask you next is, you know, what sort of moral ethics do we need these people to have? Are we asking them to be other than human? I mean, what is it, I always question this, what is it to be human or not? So what are we really asking these people to be? Are we looking for saints? Well, it's just like running for president of the United States. If you have any kind of a blemish of any sort, they're going to attack you viciously, and they're going to tear everything out of that, which is why, like you said, Bob, earlier, nobody runs for anything, nobody wants anything. Anyways, think about that. We'll be back with more Viewpoint in just a moment.
We
are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Everybody is questioning. This one is one for the history books, Kavanaugh versus Ford. I mean, this goes back a very long time. Did it happen? Didn't it happen? You hear some of the thoughts and opinions here from our power panel today. Please welcome them back here. Ava Armstrong, Barbara McGee, Dr. Bev Beverly Jackson are here. We all, as human beings, have done something stupid in our lives. What does that mean?
We never should assume guilt. We should always assume innocence before we make these statements. And I'm very sad to hear my two sisters on here today talk about Brett Kavanaugh as if he's already guilty of something. And we don't even know what. We don't even know what it was. And we don't even know when it was. And we don't even know where it was, because this woman cannot tell us those details. Now, let me tell you something. I have a good friend who was raped brutally when she was a young girl. She can tell you the scent of the cologne the man was wearing. She can tell you every detail about where it happened, how it happened, when it happened. And this to me is just, it's just a bridge too far. I'm sorry, Dr. Ford, it's a bridge too far.
Ava, that's an interesting point you bring up there. And I've been reading more and more into what you just say, that when you have been attacked in such a brutal way and you're threatened in that way, that at that moment of time, you forget nothing. You remember every moment of detail. And it's funny you say that in that way. So, Barbara, what about that? Let's make the full circle back now to this and talk about, you know, she brings up a good point, Ava does. But yet this lady doesn't remember all kinds of things, but yet she wants, but then, Barbara, wait a minute. She wants to incriminate the judge. She's a political activist for the far left. They have come out and said they will do everything in their power to stop this nomination from going through. They made that clear from moment one. So how is she to be believed now?
Well, I think there's two folds here that I think one thing that we haven't brought up, but let me just speak to trauma. Trauma is individual. There is no rule for trauma. If I go through our Ava, if Dr. Bev, all of us at this moment have something horrific happen to us, whether it be rape, whether we see someone killed in front of us, our memories are selective to what they remember, what they recall. It's like a protective setting that your mind goes into. So, you know, we can't say that she is responsible for remembering everything that has to do with it, because maybe that's not her recall.
Barbara, do you see any coincidences here at all? Seriously now, do you, as a Democrat yourself, do you see any coincidences here at all the things I just laid out?
I do see coincidences, but the bigger problem, I think, is having a president. And I'm sorry, but I have to say it. Having a, because this is the elephant, right? Having a president who also has had more than 20 women come out who have said he carries on in such a manner, who has had many salacious affairs, who is grabbed women.
Barbara, let me ask you this now. Let me stop you there a moment. You painted a picture. We got it. Now let me ask you this, because I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. What the hell does that have to do with this conversation, please?
Well, it has to do with the fact that I don't like to see the White House a revolving door.
But what has that got to do with Judge Kavanaugh going to the Supreme Court? Stop a minute here. What?
Every person that has been nominated in some way, shape, or form hired with the White House. It's been a revolving door. So the
what has that got to do with Ford and Kavanaugh? I'm not understanding. The fact that Trump likes to have sex and has had sex with harems of people, I don't understand what that has to do with Kavanaugh and Ford.
It's a very good point, because what they're trying to do is shoot down Donald Trump's candidate for the Supreme Court. It's all about Trump. You're right, Barbara. It's all about Trump.
It's about his selection, his ability to select. That's the problem.
Interesting.
Follow the money, and you will find out why this is being done. This is all about open society, Roe versus Wade. It's not about Kavanaugh.
I want you to consider this.
Understand that.
So what about, we talk about the political implications. What about the legal implications here? And what about somebody making a false claim? What should happen to that person? Back to the Me Too movement and people who push the envelope a little too far, which is where you kind of started, Barbara. But Dr. Bev, what about that?
Well, I want to agree with my sister, Ava. You are innocent until you're proven guilty. I am one of those persons with all the drama, trauma, and chaos going on in that hearing. I can put my blinders and block all the drama out. I am focused on the person sitting in that chair, who is innocent, by the way, as she said, until proven guilty.
But in this case here, Dr. Bev, I mean, you've got this woman now who comes out with this claim. There's no evidence of anything. How are you going to have evidence from 36 years ago? You're not. So, you know, what is there to really go on other than something happened, she says. And yet, hold on now. And then she doesn't want to testify now. She wants a total FBI hearing put into place. FBI, you know. Now, the FBI doesn't do that. That's not their role. They don't get involved in local crimes. That's not their... are you kidding me? That's not the FBI. Come on, people.
You know, let's face it. We have a president who has nominated this man who, could be facing impeachment. I mean, could in fact himself is under investigation. So I vote no confidence. It has nothing to do with Brett Kavanaugh. It has to do with Donald Trump's ability to nominate anybody for anything.
Barbara, that is where the left always goes about impeachment. But what would you impeach him for? Having sex? What would you impeach the president for? We'd have to impeach the whole nation.
Well, for number one,
what?
For showing your tax returns. I have to show mine. Malcolm, you're going to have to show yours. He is in control. And by the way,
Barbara, there's no law that says, no, you're wrong. You're absolutely 100% wrong. There is no law. There is no precedent for that a candidate has to give anything, disclose anything. It's not true, Barbara. They don't have to. That's not a reason to impeach a president.
Well, let me just say this.
What's the reason we impeach him for?
In your tax returns is where your money comes from, your sources. When we vet that sort of thing, that should have been something that came forth a long time ago before he was ever elected or put in this position. I personally, as a Christian, as someone who has a family, I expect my president to not only be the president for the Republicans, but for the Democrats and for the liberals and for
He is.
But he does not recognize.
He's your president. He's my president.
He does not recognize anyone who disagrees with him, and I have a problem with that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what we're talking about here now is how polarized the country is. And it clearly is, but Barbara, what I would say is this. The country has been polarized for a long time, not just under President Trump. This isn't a new event under Trump, by the way. This has been, we were as divided and at each other's throat under Obama as we are under Trump. That's just a fact, Barbara. So let's
play this out, though. Let's just play this out for a second. Let's say the lady testifies, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And let's say she accuses Brett Kavanaugh of falling on top of her and not letting her get up and mm-hmm. joking and putting his hand over her mouth, okay? Let's just say, let's pretend that happened,
all right? Okay.
Now, Brett Kavanaugh will say, no, I didn't do it. I wasn't there at the party.
Right.
And unless she brings other witnesses, she's going to have a pretty weak case, okay? So now, where do we go from there?
Well, hold on, Ava. Now, hold on, Ava. There is another point to that. There was a witness. There was another man in the room.
Yes.
And he said, that's what they say, or she's saying he was in the room. He's saying he doesn't even know what she's talking about, by the way. So he denies that from happening. There was no room, is what Kavanaugh says, because it never happened. And the kid, the guy she says was there was never there, they say. So what do you do then? There is no witness.
So that's what I'm asking is, what purpose does this serve other than to just delay the proceeding? That's all this is doing, okay?
So,
that's all they want to do.
Eva, I have a point. I just want to know, don't we want, I mean, myself personally, am I being naive in America to think that someone who's going to be appointed for a lifetime position as a Supreme Court justice should be a law-abiding citizen?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
With a spotless reputation?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there not a person like that?
Kavanaugh has a spotless reputation.
Well, he's been through all of that, Barbara. He's,
you know,
as I say.
There's a few things about Brett Kavanaugh that I've noticed. There's a few things. When he was confronted by the father of one of the gentlemen, one of the kids that was killed down in Florida, I noticed in his body language that he had no concern.
Now, Barbara, stop right there. You are so out of context, it isn't even close to funny. What we are uncovering here, let me take the floor here. What we are uncovering here is really very good, because it's the problem of what's happening in the media. Barbara, you took an incident. He had no idea who that man was that you're speaking about, with the camera was on that, from some stranger. And Barbara, you've got to give the benefit of the doubt to people. You're playing right into the left hand here. Because here's the thing. If you've got a courtroom where people are out of control and being removed every moment from the room, and you've got people screaming their lungs at, and you're a judge in the room, if somebody comes up that you don't know who they are, and they try, you don't know who that person is if they're going to stab you with a knife. Why would you do you? That's got no reflection on Judge Kavanaugh. And yet the media did exactly what you just said. The judge wouldn't shake a man from somebody from Parkland. How cruel is he? See, that's exactly out of context. That's what you call fake media. And that's what happens every day. And the problem is, people are buying this and they're eating it for breakfast. Now, here's the bigger problem, ladies. The bigger problem is we're running right out of time here. But here's the problem. I think we've exposed several things. The problem in this point is not Judge Kavanaugh. The problem is not his reputation, which is sparkling. I mean, there's nothing against this man. And whether some casual thing in high school back 36 years ago, I mean, you have to question yourself. What's the validity of that? And, I mean, where was all of that? And why didn't it come up sooner? Why did they hold it back? There are so many questions, people. But here's the thing. Barbara actually uncovered the real problem, Ava and Dr. Bev, and that is this. That part of the country does not like President Trump. They despise him. They despise him because he had sex with women too many times. He didn't give his tax returns. I don't know. Pick your poison. Whatever it is, the man is a human man. He has sex and he wants to have some privacy. I mean, but that's what I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. And I think we've uncovered several things when it comes back to the political divide in this country, what we're up against right now. And, you know, again, character assassination. Where are we at, really? And where are the rules of the road? What are the rules of engagement? And if this lady does not come forth on Monday to testify, should she be given any more privileges or rights to throw this case of 36 years back out there? I don't think this has anything to do with President Trump. I would disagree with our panel in that way. I think this is about Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court and Miss Ford, who has an accusation that is unproven. Friends, you can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com. We'd love your feedback here. Viewpoint, the Midweek Report. Big thank you here to Ava Armstrong, Dr. Bev Beverly Jackson, and Barbara McGee. Friends, we will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle. We don't discriminate against an opinion. The main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.